You know, I have this little ritual. Every quarter, I sit down with a fresh coffee, open up the earnings reports from the big tech giants.
Oh, the fun stuff.
Yeah, right. And usually I'm, maybe two sips in and I'm already regretting it. It's just this wall of text.
A lot of synergy.
So much synergy.
Yeah.
And, polite applause for maybe 2% growth.
It's rarely the stuff of action movies, that's for sure. It's mostly accountants high-fiving over decimal points.
Exactly. But then this week happens. I open the Samsung Electronics report and I honestly thought my screen was broken.
Huh, yeah.
We're not talking single digits here. We are talking about a 300% jump in operating profit
Sure.
year over year.
A 300% jump.
It's a staggering number.
It is. It's the kind of number that makes the entire industry just stop. You've got analysts in New York and London just scrambling because, I mean, numbers like that don't happen, not in a mature market.
Right. I mean, usually when a company that size grows that fast, it's because they, I don't know, found oil under their headquarters.
Something like that, yeah.
So what is actually going on here? Did everyone on Earth suddenly buy three phones at once?
I wish it were that simple for them. But to really get it, you have to peel back the layers. There are actually two different engines driving this whole thing.
Okay.
And the first one, it has almost nothing to do with the phone in your pocket. It's a classic selling shovels in a gold rush kind of deal.
Okay, I follow. The gold rush is AI.
Exactly. I mean, think about what's happening with OpenAI, Google, Meta, all of them. They're building these massive data centers.
Right.
And they're training AI models that are just getting exponentially bigger every single month. And those models are hungry.
For computing power and memory speed.
That's it. And Samsung's HBM4 memory chips, they're basically the gold standard for this stuff.
So they're feeding the beast.
They are the chef. Every time you ask ChatGPT a question, there's a really good chance a Samsung chip in a server somewhere is doing the heavy lifting. That's engine number one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But most people listening aren't buying server racks for their basement.
Not yet, anyway.
Which brings us to engine number two. And this, I think, is the more surprising part of the story.
The Galaxy S26 series.
The S26. Now, normally, by the time you get to the 26th version of anything, the excitement has kind of flatlined.
Yeah, it's the screen is slightly brighter.
Exactly. The camera bump is a different shape.
Yeah.
But the pre-order numbers for this thing have shattered records. Records that have stood since the Galaxy S3.
Which is, that's practically ancient history in tech years. Over a decade ago.
So why now? I've been looking through the source material and they keep using this term, intelligent phone. And my first reaction was, okay, here comes the marketing fluff.
I get that.
Is there any actual substance to that? Or is it just a fancy new way of saying smartphone?
I actually think the distinction is valid here. It marks this fundamental shift in how we use our tech. For the last, what, 15 years, we've basically been carrying around terminals.
Terminals. That makes me think of like those old green screen computers from the 80s.
And in a way, yeah. Your smartphone, it's just a beautiful high-res modem.
Huh.
When you ask Siri a question or translate something, your phone isn't doing the thinking. It's just packaging your request, shipping it off to a server farm somewhere.
So my phone is just the middleman, the waiter taking my order to the kitchen.
Exactly. And if the kitchen closes, if you lose your internet, the waiter can't bring you any food. Your $1,000 device becomes, as one source put it, a glorious calculator.
It loses its brain.
Its brain is in the cloud, and the S26 is trying to change that.
That's the premise, right? The intelligent phone means the intelligence is moving out of the cloud and into the device itself.
Yeah.
Digital independence.
That's the term. Yep.
Okay, independence is a strong word. But before we get swept up in the cool new tech, I feel like I have to be the skeptic for a minute.
I have a feeling I know where you're going with this.
We're talking about Samsung
Yeah.
and AI software. And frankly, their track record isn't exactly spotless.
The Bixby button.
We have to talk about the button. The Bixby button.
Yes. The dark ages of 2017, a moment of silence.
I mean, let's just be honest. The Galaxy S8, they put a physical button on the side of the phone that nobody asked for.
Nobody.
You'd be trying to turn down the volume, and suddenly you'd summon this assistant that was, let's just say it wasn't winning any trivia nights.
It was a disaster. It was a classic case of a company trying to force a behavior on users because they wanted their own Google Assistant. People were downloading third-party apps just to kill the button.
Right. So knowing that history, why should we trust them now? Usually a company face plants that hard on software and they just They retreat. They stick to making screens.
But that's what makes the story so interesting. They didn't retreat. They just went silent. They spent the last few years in the lab working on what they call the Samsung Gauss strategy.
Okay.
And the key difference is the philosophy. Bixby was an assistant. It was a personality. Gauss 2.0 inside the S26 is a thinking engine.
A thinking engine sounds a lot more serious. But what does that actually mean for me holding the phone?
It means invisibility. Bixby was intrusive. It wanted your attention.
Right, with a button.
Gauss is designed to be a layer woven into the OS. It's in your keyboard, your camera, your battery manager. You don't summon it. It's just there.
So they stopped trying to make a digital butler and started trying to make a smarter brain for the phone itself.
Exactly. But to do that, they had to solve this massive engineering problem. How do you fit a large language model, an LLM, inside a phone?
Because usually these models are just gigantic, right? Gigabytes of data.
Huge. And they need immense processing power. But Samsung managed to compress the model and store it directly on the phone.
The brain is in the box.
The brain is in the box. And to prove why that matters, the source material uses this great analogy they call the Sahara test.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Paint the picture for me.
Imagine you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Or, I don't know, a submarine at the bottom of the ocean.
Okay, zero signal.
Zero signal, no Wi-Fi, no 5G, nothing. On a normal phone, you're digitally stranded. You can maybe play a game or look at old photos.
Right. I'm cut off.
But with the S26, because that brain is local, you can still ask the AI to draft a poem for you. Or an email. You can professionally edit photos with generative fill.
All without an internet connection.
All of it. Right there on the silicon in your hand.
That is a wild concept. It's not just about speed. It's about not being tethered.
Yeah.
But this brings up a hardware question. AI makes chips get hot, like really hot.
It does.
How are they running this on a phone without it melting a hole through my pocket?
That's where the engineering gets really impressive. It's not just about a faster CPU. It's all about the NPU, the neural processing unit. In the S26, it's the Exynos 2600.
I saw the specs mention 60 TOPS. I know TOPS is trillion operations per second.
Right.
But honestly, that number just sounds like noise. Is that a lot?
It's an absurd amount for a mobile device. I mean, think of an operation as a single math problem. This chip can solve 60 trillion of them every single second. But here's the catch, and this is the part most reviews miss. A fast processor is useless if you can't feed it data fast enough.
The bottleneck problem.
Exactly. Imagine you have a Ferrari engine. That's your NPU.
Oh.
But you try to drive that Ferrari on a dirt road full of potholes. You're not going anywhere fast.
You need a highway.
You need a highway. And the RAM is the highway. They moved to LPDDR6 RAM, which has a bandwidth of 12.8 gigabits per second.
So the data can just fly.
They basically paved a 12-lane autobahn directly from the memory to the processor. The goal was to get latency to zero, because if you're doing on-device AI, any waiting just kills the experience.
Right. If I ask it to rewrite a text, I want it done now, not in 3 seconds.
Exactly. We've all been trained for that instant gratification. So we have the monster chip, the super wide highway. That's the how. Now I want to get into the what.
Me too. People don't care about RAM speeds. They care about what they can do. And the camera seems to be the main battleground again.
It always is. And the rivalry here is fascinating. You look at Apple. The iPhone 17 Pro Max is still refining its 48-megapixel sensor, which is great. They take excellent photos.
But Samsung, they went a different route.
They decided to go nuclear. The S26 Ultra comes with their ISOCELL HP9 sensor, and the resolution is 320 megapixels.
320. Okay, hold on. Do we actually need that many pixels? I mean, unless I'm printing a billboard, isn't that just a big number for marketing?
5 years ago, I would have said yes, absolutely. But remember the theme. On-device intelligence. The Magid isn't just the sensor. It's the offline AI ISP, the image signal processor.
So the chip is fixing the picture as you take it.
It's doing way more than fixing. It's reconstructing. Think about the space zoom feature. We've all seen those 100x zoom photos of the moon from a few years ago.
Yeah, they were ambitious, like a watercolor painting, a blurry mess.
A smudge in the sky, right. But now, because of that NPU, the AI understands what it's looking at. The source mentioned a test where you can read a license plate from 2 kilometers away.
2 kilometers. That sounds like spy movie tech.
It's incredible. The AI analyzes the raw data, recognizes the pattern of text, and reconstructs the image with perfect clarity. It's not just magnifying pixels, it's understanding the content.
That's amazing. And also a little terrifying.
It is the definition of computational photography, and it extends to low light, too. They call it nightography 4.0. The claim is the phone basically doesn't see darkness.
So it's brighter than what my own eyes can see.
Exactly. And just to be clear, because this is the crucial part, this isn't sending the photo to a cloud server to be processed later.
No, it's all offline.
Instantly.
You snap the shutter, the NPU crunches it before you can even open the gallery.
The feature that really stuck out to me, though, was the Instant Magic Eraser.
Ah, yes.
We've seen this before, but it's always been a bit clunky.
It's the awkward pause problem, right? You take a photo of the Eiffel Tower, there are tourists everywhere, you circle a person, and then you just wait.
Watching that spinning wheel for 5 seconds. And half the time it comes back looking like a weird blurry patch where the person was.
Yes.
With the S26, because of that 60 TOPS of power, it's instantaneous. You tap a person in the background, they vanish. The NPU recognizes tourists, removes them, and reconstructs the background in a split second.
Like having a little Photoshop editor living inside the phone.
That's a perfect way to put it. But honestly, while the camera is flashy, I think the communication features might be the real game changer.
The translation stuff?
Real-time call translate. We've seen early versions of this, but they always had that latency, that two-second delay.
It killed the flow of the conversation.
Nah.
You couldn't really talk. You were just taking turns talking at a robot.
Exactly. Now, because the LLM is right there on that fast RAM, the latency is effectively zero. You speak English, the person in Tokyo hears Japanese instantly.
That's huge for global business.
Yeah.
And speaking of business, that meeting notes feature sounds like something I would actually use every single day.
Oh, absolutely. You record a one-hour meeting, and the phone doesn't just transcribe it word for word. The AI understands the context.
It summarizes.
It summarizes the discussion. It extracts key bullet points, action items, who's responsible for what.
That's a shut up and take my money feature for a lot of people. But
Hold
on. This brings me to a pretty serious concern.
Go on.
And I think a lot of listeners are probably thinking this right now. If my phone is listening to my meetings, learning my voice, analyzing my photos.
Yeah.
That sounds like a privacy nightmare.
That's the number one fear with AI, is this thing spying on me.
Right.
But this is where the on-device architecture is actually the solution, not the problem.
How so?
They call it the digital vault. Remember, all this processing happens on the device. No data leaves the phone, ever. If you summarize a confidential contract, that text is never sent to a cloud server.
So there's nothing for a hacker to intercept.
Or for Samsung or Google to peek at. It's all processed within their isolated NOC security environment. Their motto is literally, what happens on Galaxy stays on Galaxy.
That's a strong stance. They're basically marketing privacy as a feature.
In a world where every app wants your data, keeping it locally on your own hardware is the ultimate luxury. It's a return to ownership.
I like that framing. Let's talk about the interface, One UI 8.0. Because you can have the best engine in the world, but if the steering wheel falls off.
It's a bad car. Right? Well, One UI 8.0 seems to be all about user behavior. And my favorite example is the predictive battery management.
Is this different from the usual battery saver mode that just dims your screen?
Very different. Standard battery savers are reactive. This is predictive. It learns your specific habits.
Give me an example.
Okay, so let's say you only really check Instagram heavily around 5.00 p.m. when you get off work.
Maybe.
The NPU learns this. So before 5.00 p.m., it keeps the processor in a deep sleep state to save power. Then right before you usually unlock your phone, it wakes everything up.
So it's preloading for my bad habits.
It's preparing for them. And the result is reportedly 2 full days of real-world battery life.
2 days on a flagship is impressive. And what about the animation smoothness? That's always been the stick iPhone users beat Android with.
The non-linear animations. This is wild. The NPU actually predicts where your finger is going to move next on the screen.
What?
It starts rendering the frames for the swipe before you've even fully done it. The claim is they have finally beaten iOS in smoothness.
Shots fired. I'll believe that when I see it, but it sounds promising.
And for the fun side, there's the generative customization. You can type in a prompt like, well, the example in the source was a galaxy made of pizza cheese.
Wait, that was the official example. Really?
That was the literal example in the technical briefing. And in 3 seconds, the phone generates a unique wallpaper. It makes the device feel incredibly personal.
I might have to try a podcast studio made of chocolate. So, looking at the big picture, profits are up 300%. The phone is breaking records. The gamble paid off.
It did. The market was starving for innovation that didn't require a monthly subscription. We're tired of software as a service. The S26 proves people will pay a premium for power.
The power to be smart without Wi-Fi.
Digital independence. That's why the source calls it the first true intelligent phone. It's not just a smarter smartphone, it's a new category.
And what about the competition? Apple's not just going to sit there and let this happen, are they?
No chance. There's a prediction from an analyst they called Inspector Gemini in the material.
Inspector Gemini. Sounds like a comic book villain, but okay. What's the forecast?
The prediction is that by 2027, every flagship phone, iPhone included, will be forced to follow this standard. The internet will become an optional choice for intelligence, not a requirement.
So the war has begun. Team Samsung versus Team Apple.
It has. And the battleground isn't who has the bluest message bubbles anymore. It's who offers the best offline capability, who offers the most independence.
It really feels like a turning point. We've spent the last decade trying to get everything into the cloud, and now suddenly the pendulum is swinging back.
It's the cycle of tech. Centralize, then decentralize. We're entering the decentralization phase.
So if we summarize the S26, it's not just about the camera or the battery. It's about a shift toward digital independence, power, and privacy, regardless of your connection.
That's the key takeaway. It's about making the device in your pocket the smartest thing in the room, whether it's connected to the world or not.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a thought. We've been talking about how this phone frees us from the cloud. If our devices become fully intelligent and independent,
where does that leave the internet providers?
Exactly. How does that change our relationship with the big data companies who rely on our constant connection? If the intelligence is already in your pocket, maybe that dumb pipe of the internet becomes a lot less valuable.
That is a very provocative question. The balance of power might be shifting more than we realize.
Something to mull over while you're generating wallpapers made of pizza cheese. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.
We'll catch you on the next one. Stay curious.